I'd like to turn to the book of John this afternoon. Chapter 1, I'd like to read verse 12, and then I'd like to turn over into chapter 24 of the book of Acts and read verse 25. John's writing, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I'd like to call your attention to three words: power to become. Then in Acts chapter 24, if you would read with me, verse 25. This speaking of the time that Paul was brought before Felix. "And as he," meaning Paul, "reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" There are many, many applications that could be brought from these verses of Scripture, but I'd like to talk to you this afternoon, and it may be considered only a talk, but I'd like to speak to you from the depth of my heart on the subject of power to become. Our theme for the 1971 version of the CA Convention is empowered. The word empowered from Webster's dictionary means to give authority and the ability to bring to pass something that ordinarily could not be accomplished. When you think of the word empowered, it's not just to say you have a right to do something. When you think of the word empowered, it's not just to say you have the ability to do something, but it carries with it not only the ability to do something, but it says that you have the authority to do it also. I am glad this afternoon that Christ did not make us as you would see a man in a donut factory coming along, stamping out each donut, each one as if there was a pattern and likeness of the one prior and the one following it. But I'm glad that in our individual ways, irregardless of our background, irregardless of our circumstance, irregardless of what our problems might be in life, he has given unto us the ability, the authority, and the power to become the sons of Jesus Christ. That if we will believe upon him, there is nothing that can hold us back to being what God wants us to be. I remember as a lad of a boy, it used to be a pastime hobby of ours as a playing with the boys in the community to find an old radio. And in the back part of the speaker, there were always what we referred to as magnets that had a power to pull and to attract. You could find a magnet that if you found another piece of metal that would attract it, or it would be attracted to it, it would cling to it. And I have played with those things many times. And I watched how when you would face them together, they would clap and come together. But whenever you would reverse them, they would push one against the other and push it away. And in no way could you make it stick together. When you look into the nature of mankind, you can find God's power, magnetic power, working within the lives of the individual. I've studied from genetics and biology and various other subjects. And I've noticed that when an individual is born, they take upon them the chromosomes and the genes that are attracted one to the other in a magnetic fashion. And that individual begins to grow and take on the image of the father and the mother and those that have formulated and put together the genetic makeup of that individual. When you look around the world today, we realize the reason that when we walk out upon the earth, that we do not sail off into some unknown space is because of the force of gravity, of a magnetic nature that is holding us and pulling us to the earth and keeping us as a gravity force would hold us from sailing away in the air. And then I think of it in the term of the spiritual sense, and I see again there is a magnetic force that to those that open their heart and say, "Jesus Christ, come in, abide and live, take up a abode within my soul," there is a pulling and there's a growing eye and there is a continual energizing and force that cannot hold us back but makes us to become like unto the Son of God, our predecessor, our Father, and the one that's blazed the trail before us. But the opposite is also there. Then when you see individuals that say no, they become likened unto the Felix of Paul's day. Paul came to Felix, in a sense, with a message of repentance to bring to him the knowledge that there was one, that if he would open his heart, the Bible says that he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment, that he brought to pass the knowledge that there was the Son of God, that if Felix would open his heart, though he was so sinful, though he was living in adultery, though he was a conniver, though he was one that believed in witchcraft and was addicted to sorcery, yet Paul was trying to make him become aware that if he would look away from what he is today unto the flowers and to the power and to the magnetic being of Jesus Christ, that he would lift him out of his debauchery into a place of living under the shelter of the arms of the Almighty God. But Felix said, no, it's not my time. It's my time. Wait till a more convenient season. Whenever you begin to realize there have been many down through the ages of time that have said wait till some other time to spurn the magnetic force of Jesus Christ, to spurn the wooing and the tugging and the yearning and the longing and the growing power of Jesus Christ. Only somewhere down the line turn and say, Father, some way, somehow, lift me out. Only to hear the voice say, there is no more, that your time and your day is spent, and it's no longer available for your life. Whenever we look into the life of Felix, we'll find there were certain reasons that he spurned the voice of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Number one, Felix was wanting to enjoy the now generation. He was a man that was concerned with the now. You know, down through the history of mankind, there have been times when man has become more concerned with what was going on now rather than the future and rather than the past. But I have come to realize, as many moms and dads and as many young people have, that it's not that we should get our attention and our vision upon the things that are happening here, but to look away from the cross to the crown, that one of these days Jesus Christ is coming to reward those that have watched and waited and followed faithfully with him. You know, whenever you study the magnetic force, you'll find that as long as a piece of metal is attached to that magnet, that it doesn't lose the power of the magnet, but it infuses that same power into the piece of metal that's attached to it, that's held by force. And the longer it stays there, the more power goes into the piece of metal, until after a period of time, that piece of metal that was formed, that had no magnetic power whatsoever, when taken away from the original magnet, then has a power of its own to pull and to draw. Listen to me today, young person. It's not what you are today. It's not what you may have been in the past, but it's what you can become by attaching to the magnetic power of Jesus Christ and allowing him to infuse into your life that power to keep you going on for the kingdom of God. Felix was concerned with that. He realized he was caught in his sins. No doubt. He was concerned about the fact that he would give up a lot of things. He would turn around and look at Drusilla, his wife, who he realized that he had, in a conniving way, Drusilla and Sisus, her husband, were married in their teenage days. Drusilla was at the age of 14 years of age when she married him. And at the age of 18, then she decided that it was not for her. And along came Felix. And it said, by the sorcery of Simon the sorcerer, he drew her away from her husband and had him done away with in order that he might take his wife and become married to her. And so as he saw Drusilla, he saw there was an object. He saw there would be a righting of his wrongs. He saw there would have to be a change in his life. And he says, I will not do it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Drusilla wants some things. And if I can bribe Paul, if I can make a sport out of him, if I can charge to see, or maybe if he'll pay me off, then I can do a lot of things for Drusilla. And so it was. He was caught in his sins. And he could not see a way out. I see young people today, I see a lot of young people in this same situation. I've said it a number of times and I re-say it again.
that if you give the devil an opportunity in just a moment, in an hour, or just one day of your life, he'll put a trap on your life, he'll put a scar upon your life, and try to make you believe that there is no way out, and no way that you can ever live it down, get over it, or ever make a decent life out of your life. But again, I reemphasize the verse 12 of chapter 1, to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There is no ditch so deep but what God's magnetic power can reach to the miry clay and lift you out and set you on the solid rock. There is no hog pen of corruption so vile but what he can come to you and say, welcome home, my son or my daughter. You're mine. I'm drawing you into me. You belong unto my life. Felix did not want to give up. He was concerned with what he could have now rather than what he could have in the future. Number two, Felix was too busy. I believe with all my heart, this is an overworked saying in our day and time. Everywhere you turn, everybody's saying they're busy. You ask some individual to do something and they say, I'm too busy. I'll get somebody to do it. I'm too busy. Everywhere you, it seems that this is the excuse. If you're late, I was too busy. If you don't get something done, then I just had too much, I could not get it done. I've come to realize that people do what they want to do, amen? If they want to do it, they'll get the job done. If they don't, then it won't get done. Felix felt that he was too busy. He said, wait until a more convenient time. There's a lot of youth today that have tickets to spend, they feel. And it's not the opportune time. I've got things to do. I'm too busy to live a Christian life. I'm too busy to be one that goes to church all the time. I've got things to do, places to go, and money to spend. Listen to me, I've never found yet an individual that regretted being a Christian, but I've found individuals many, many times over that regretted they did not start living for God at an earlier age before they had those tickets to spend and had to reap the dividends in the years to come. Felix did not realize that just in a short time, he felt like success was his, that he was going to enjoy for a long time. And he said, Paul, you're out of your mind in a sense. He said, you don't even understand. Look around you. Here are the pillars of pearl. Here are the curtains of purple. And I live in loyalty. Why should I tell you, wait until a more convenient season. When I'm on my deathbed, when I've been stripped of every crown that I've ever possessed, then, Paul, I'll call for you. But listen to me, it was just a short period of time until the man of God, Paul, the ambassador from heaven, that had a message to give, that would have made him a ruler, that would have made him one, a man of renown, only to find in just a short period of time that his governorship was stripped from him, and he was relieved of his duties, and was a nobody with nothing to do, and no good fame whatsoever. Felix placing his trust and his confidence in what he had now, thinking it would last in the future. My short period of my life, I can remember young men, my years in high school, that felt like that because they were popular then. They had it made, there was no way, there was nothing to keep them from being the greatest success. I remember in our annual of our high school class, some of the young men that they began to project into the future, the prophecy of what they would be. And some of those men, they told what they would become and what they would own and what they would have. And today I look back and some of those today are now behind a prison cell. Some of them are in some place tonight, today awaiting the sentence from the judge. Some of them are bound by alcohol and cannot find a day that they can live in peace. Some of their homes have been separated, divorced, remarried, trouble on top of trouble. And today they look back and they wonder, where was that prophet? Was popular. Where was all that I used to have, that I lived in and enjoyed at that time? But listen to me. I've seen those young men that didn't have the popularity, that didn't have the things the world said you've got to have to be success. Today, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, are serving as deacons, are serving as Sunday school teachers, are serving as ministers, and they have something to live for and to look forward because they felt that pull and they yielded to the magnetic power of an almighty God. God that brought them into being to become the sons of God.
Praise God.
We realize in our day and time there's a lot of emphasis laid upon the opportunity. Talking with young people, this seemingly is becoming a pressurized age. You have heard as well as said it many times as I have said it many times. Youth of today have many goals and opportunities. Many opportunities that moms and dads a few years ago never dreamed would be afforded to the youth of 1971. And for some young people, this has become a perplexed situation. That everybody's saying you ought to succeed, you ought to be this, and with the opportunity you have and with the resources you have, you ought to be the world's greatest, and then go ahead and list the field or the category that they ought to be the world's greatest in. But listen to me. I've come to the realization it's not those that become the greatest lawyer, the greatest doctor, the greatest members of our society, and I praise God for these individuals. It's not the one that becomes the greatest banker or the greatest architect or the greatest constructionist. But I have come to realize in my books it's the individual that yields to the power of the Holy Spirit to let them become the son of God or the daughter of God that God wants them to be in the field of his labor. Felix number 3 could not give up the honor of the world. He wanted to be the focal point of the conversation. He wanted the moms to call their children after the leader of the land. He wanted school systems to be named after him. He wanted parks to be dedicated in his honor. He was afraid that if he yielded to the power of God, he would be compromising himself and lowering his dignity. I want you to know when Felix was forgotten about, there was one that was still left. That even though there was a storm raging on the sea, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 27, that Paul came to the man that was in charge and he said, "Man, this ship is going to see hurt. There's going to be some that are going to be hurt. But I know this one thing, that the angel of the Lord, whose I am and who has stood beside me this night, has assured me that no one individual is going to be harmed in any measure." Listen to me. When the world is frolicking and tossing to and fro, those individuals that have yielded to the magnetic power of Jesus Christ will still be able to step out and say, "I know one thing." Though the world toss and tumble, though it may erupt in a flame of fire, I know in whom I believe that he is able and is going to keep me against this hour, against this day. Whenever you stop to realize there is no safety in the claims of this world, all the money in the world cannot buy the peace and the serenity of Jesus Christ. All the wealth of the world can never buy the peace and the relief from the time whenever accident or calamity of judgment has come upon the home or upon the family. But I want you to know that still small voice, that wooing of the Spirit of God, even though there's not a dime in the bank account, there's still the reality there. I am a child of the King, and I go back to him. He's my Father, and whatever comes or goes, we're going to make it through all the way for the kingdom of God. There was a group of boys one time that were on parade. Everybody was standing and watching as they were marching. As they were marching in front of the review, there was something that happened. One of the youngsters just kept marching. He was out of tune, out of line, and out of march. Finally, someone stopped him, and when they made him aware that he was away from the rest of the marchers, they discovered that he had a transistor radio in his pocket. And while he was marching, he was listening to the radio. He was tuned in on another station. And he became out of step with the band that he was walking with. Listen to me, friend. The Christian today that's in tune with the Almighty Brother of Heaven walks out of tune with the world. They may not ever understand why we do and why we act like we act. But I want you to know, as long as we're in tune with him, it matters little what happens in this this world. For Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting, the everlasting. That when the world's on fire, he said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's march by the heavens beat. Let's be in tune with the drummer of heaven, and we'll never have to fear what man may have to say about our lives. The magnetic power of Jesus Christ. You can study the power that comes into the electrical system, and you'll notice that it's many times produced by hydro equipment that is run by rushing water. There is no way that the rushing water can ever generate the power to come through the electric lines into the building or to produce the electricity without first of all going through the powerhouse. And then it's transformed and transformed and transformed. Until whenever you plug in that light, there is a glow. When you plug in some electrical fixture, there is a noise of working, and it's coming to pass. That energetic force is controllable. Listen to me today, young person. There is only one way. I know that this is the theme of many youth of our land, and I don't even want to think of that in connection with this, but I want you to know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, the powerhouse. That when we'll listen to the small voice of his calling, when we'll yield to that magnetic force, he'll pull us in the line, he'll keep us humble, he'll keep us in tune with the drummer, that'll keep us marching toward the eternal reward that's in store for those that live for him. I want to hurry to the closing remarks. Do you remember reading in the New Testament the days of Jesus Christ? Jesus sent the disciples out, and they were privileged to do miracles. They came back rejoicing of the miracles that had been performed. They had been able to lay their hands on the sick and they would recover. They had been able to see blinded eyes open. They had seen many miraculous things happen in their day. I want you to know Jesus talking to them. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We sometimes say that power is to do things. And it's true, it gives us the power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. It gives us power to see miraculous things come to pass. But listen to me today, young person, young adult, mom and dad, there is something the world is longing for today that the disciples, the apostles, exemplified to the people of their day, more than the raising of the lame, more than the blinded eyes to be opened. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 that it says they gave witness to the resurrection, the life-giving, the quickening power, the energizing force that Jesus Christ was not dead, but he was alive, and he could live within their heart. They even went on to say they took note that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took note also they had been with Jesus Christ. Listen, there it is again, that magnetic force. They realized they had been attached to the power of Jesus Christ, and in tune were able to give out to those that were in need round about them. This is the cry of the youth today. It's to give to me something I can live with, something that I can die with, something that I can enjoy eternity with. And that comes from the quickening power of an almighty Jesus Christ, who as many as believe to them gave him power to become the sons of God. When we look around us today, the youth of our land set up different individuals as idols to look to think about, I would like to be like that individual. I remember as a young minister, I had a certain preacher that I would like to have preached like. It would have been the greatest compliment in my life for someone to come around and say, you know, you preach like so-and-so. But you know, there came a time when, just as Brother Luger mentioned this morning, and I thought sure he was going to get everything that I had, but it left me a little bit. There was a time came when I realized there was nothing. There was no power within me to be like anybody else. But there was one thing that I found became inherent. when I said, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. When I said, Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Master, I'll follow you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I found that it was not to become like anybody else, but in my own particular ministry, in my own particular way, it was to become like Jesus Christ and to be his child and allow him to be my father and my leader. Young person, there is no way that God will make you a CM ward in the sense of being like CM ward. You may have the same results. You may be as widely known as CM ward, but you can never preach like CM ward. You may can do a lot of things, but there is one thing God has given. He has given unto you a charge to develop that which he's given unto you to become like unto him and to be used of him in doing what God wants you to do. To as many as believe, to them gave me power. But God, he didn't say it would be momentarily. He didn't say that it would be when the presbytery laid their hands or when the pastor prays or whenever the Sunday school teacher teaches or prays that it would happen overnight. But the word becomes means a transition period, a verb transitive, that it has a reaction that carries through again and again, little by little. Isaiah said it this way, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. God feels within you that saint, that adult Christian that he wants you to be only by your clinging to him and following him and being what he wants you to be. Shall we stand together this afternoon? I've had various individuals remark the power of a young person. You'll never find that anybody in your church will be any more energetic to do things than the young person. They may be the first one to be tired of doing things also. There's no force like the force of Pentecostal young people. I believe with all my heart that there is a real challenge today. God called for youth that will say, Lord, here I am. I want to be in the army that's going to be victorious regardless of who the enemy is. Yeah. I want to be in the army that regardless if they live one battle or two battles or a dozen or a hundred battles, they're going to win the war eventually through Jesus Christ. Power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God.
Hallelujah.
I feel something this afternoon.
Thank
the choir that's saying is this choir with people that have been an attitude of praise and worship to God. It only yet remains in the hands of God of what's going to come to pass.
Hallelujah.
I'd like for every youth,
thank you,
every young person. Brother Knuckles comes and leads us in the song, Onward Christian Soldiers. You'd like to say, preacher, I volunteer for that army.
Thank you.
And I want you to raise your hand.
Thank you.
And I want to, since we start as an army of young people, you may need to go to the aisle to the outside or to the aisle in the inside. I want us to make an army today that's going to march forward of Christ's ambassador, everybody under 35 years of age. And you'll say, preacher, I want to be in that army. I'm volunteering that I'll be one that'll march forward. That I'm giving myself to that magnetic pull. That whatever God wants me to become, that's what I'm going to be. Whatever God wants to make of my life, that's what I'm willing to do as I surrender my life, my soul, and my body into his hands. Would you come and raise your hand? March with your hand up. Saying, God, here's my life. As we sing an Onward Christian Soldier, marching as to war. There is a war to be fought, and we have the arsenal of heaven at our disposal if we surrender to him. Would you come?
Onward Christian
When a young man would leave home to join the army, to join the Navy.
Hallelujah.
And we know the experience that transpires there. Mom is praying, mom is crying. That little boy, that little girl that she rocked, the little boy that she rocked in her arms many, many times.
Yes.
She no longer has any control. She has to turn into the hands of Almighty God. Though there's many miles to cut, though there's many lonely hours, and though there be many temptations and trials, she has to rely on what she has embedded in that heart, and it will see him through those times. Everybody say, this afternoon, God is begging for young people to volunteer to join the army. Mom and Dad, the battle is just as fierce. The devil is going to put many, many temptations. Listen to the words that Paul had to say. That as he was ready to lay down his life, he said, I know I have now fought the good fight of faith. Henceforth there is laid up to me a plan. Not only for me, but for all those that live godly in Christ Jesus. Young person, many times you may have to depend on those bedtime stories, the essence of those stories that mom taught you. It may be the time where you feel the loneliness of your life, that you remember some scripture that mom and dad quoted to you. But remember, you're in the army for Jesus Christ, and he's never lost a battle yet. He's still a conqueror. He's still a king of kings and Lord of lords. He still rages the battle, and he'll always come out victorious. And he'll do the same in your life as you continue to give to yourself the word of God and in turn give yourself to God. I want us to join together. Would you take the hand of those in the congregation? Would you take the one standing by your side? By the hand of... I want us to join together. I was talking to a young man just the other night after a service in a church that I was ministering in. And he almost broke down. He said, Brother Jackson, we're facing a lot of things in our school systems today. He began to tell, and so as he began to tell, I began to ask him a thing or two that I was wanting to know for my own personal benefit. And he began to tell of the number of temptations of young people that he knew were offering to sell various drugs. He began to tell of young ladies that he said, I know they're hooked on drugs. I can see the needle prints in their arms, and I know what they talk about. And there was something that began to well up in my heart, and I thought, oh God, how thankful I am today for the soldiers of Jesus Christ. That many moms and dads have looked over their lives and seen their young people's lives ruined. But I've never seen mom and dad regret for their youth living for Jesus Christ and what God made out of their lives, because he gave them power to become through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want us to pray a prayer this afternoon. Not only a prayer that, oh God, keep them from these things, but oh God, preserve them in the midst of the battle.
Yes,
don't ever let them fall victim to the snares of the devil. Don't ever let them become like Felix to turn around and resist that magnetic power, but help them to always be subject to the magnetic force of Jesus Christ that brought them unto you. Shall we join together?